Season 3, Episode 10, The Backboard Jungle. It opens up with a very, very grisly scene of people shot in a like a playground basketball court in New York City. There's multiple people shot. There's a lot of confusion. There's every single person in the squad trying to get information out of witnesses, and it's proving difficult. Because people aren't sure exactly what happened. A white woman was shot in the car. There were a couple of players, because it was a basketball event, a couple players who you find out were, like, not pro, but almost professional level.
Yeah, they were playing.
You find out that nobody really has any information about what happened, except shots were fired and then all hell broke loose.
Nobody's talking.
Essentially, Sipowicz and Simone meet up in the center, and Fancy shows up, and there's a little bit of words exchanged between Sipowicz and Fancy, because Sipowicz felt there should have been a police presence, which Fancy vouched that there didn't need to be because of the word of a guy named Quasi. And Sipowicz is really upset by this because he felt a police presence would have prevented the deaths and injuries of these people. The opening basically ends with Fancy saying to talk to Quasi to get some type of information about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is NYPD Blue Balls, where the Asher Brothers go through every single episode of NYPD Blue. This is the theme song to NYPD Blue. Anyway, so Sipowicz and Simone go to find Quasi, and multiple times the phrase "talk to Quasi" has been said, and I think that should have been the title of this episode, "Talk to Quasi."
Okay.
Because when he talks to Quasi, he basically has the only important moment of this episode, because the entire episode kind of wraps around this moment. Simone and Sipowicz go to the hospital where Quasi is meeting some of the victims of the charity basketball game that occurred for a young black boy who was dead in police custody. Police say it was due to a seizure. Quasi believes, like many people in that community, that the police roughed him up and he died as a result of his injuries, and it's a cover-up by the police.
Mm-hmm.
Sipowicz goes up to Quasi, who is speaking to a reporter who was at the scene named Dave Bloom, who is played by Adam Goldberg, who, if you don't know, a famous face from Saving Private Ryan.
He was also in Dazed and Confused.
He has been in a bunch of shit. He's kind of one of those famous faces that you've seen in a bunch of things, but you can never put your finger on it, but Saving Private Ryan is my favorite.
And yeah,
he's
good.
An argument ensues because Sipowicz firmly believes that Quasi is just in line with drug dealers and isn't actually helping his community, even though Simone kind of challenges that theory by saying, I don't think he uses drug money, I think he's using city money to promote these causes, I don't think he meant anything by it. I didn't write down the exact argument that occurs, but essentially, Quasi says something to the effect of, I am the N-word you know you cops can't mess with.
Yeah.
Sipowicz says, no, I think you're the N-word whose nonsense caused the death of these people. And they start swinging. Quasi gets arrested for disorderly conduct and assaulting an officer. And the reporter who was there at the scene, who wouldn't give them any information, even though he probably could have, he asks Sipowicz if he uses that word often. He drops his notebook, which Sipowicz drags into the elevator with him, so the guy doesn't have his notebook. And then in the elevator, Sipowicz stands in front of him, and Quasi says, I knew you were a stone-cold racist. And Sipowicz says something to the effect of, I think your guys just decided to act their color. Now, we've talked a lot on this show about Sipowicz being racist. And it was mostly a joke. He said some racially insensitive things. But this episode really kind of hammers home the idea that he's basically a little bit racist.
Yeah, a little bit, Kirk. He's 100% racist.
It's a difficult discussion to have, because I'm sure one could say that his use of the N-word was in response to something the dude said, and he shouldn't have said it, but he didn't call him that, which is not the point. He shouldn't have used it at all.
Yes.
However, the thing he said to him in the elevator was 100% racist. Something that I forgot he even said.
Yeah.
I didn't realize was even in the show.
I forgot that he had said it until now, until you mentioned it.
It is... I mean, it stops, like, the entire discussion of the show, really, in my opinion. Because the N-word line, like, you could have discussion after discussion. Like, comedians have been doing it for years. Black and white comedians and like, social scholars and people who study race relations, like, power of words and what does it really mean. And if we put stock in the words, that would give them power. But when he looks directly at a dude and said, "I think you guys just decided to act your color." That is unbelievably racist.
That's intense.
That's crazy. Like, it was so harsh. And then you now have this case going on, and Fancy, who is a black man, he's like, "Well, I want to talk to Quasi," and Quasi says, "I'm only going to talk to Fancy."
Mm-hmm.
And when Fancy gets into the room with him, they have a mini argument because Fancy's like, "Hey man, I trusted you. I thought you could make sure this thing goes off without a hitch. Now we're finding out that drug dealers had money on the game. They have these ringers coming in when it's just supposed to be a community basketball game. You really screwed the pooch. This doesn't help any of us." And Quasi kind of challenges him, saying, "Look, obviously I didn't want this to happen. It got out of control. But you are blinded by your position. You've got racists in your own department." And
yes,
he lets him know that Sipowicz threw out the N-word at him.
I'm just letting you get all the information out, and then we'll talk.
Okay. Okay, so it's going to be a lot. Okay. Quasi basically says, "I will help find out who did this and what happened through my contacts if you do something about Sipowicz," and the implication is, get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Fancy, after hearing this, says, "Do it, go find him." He brings Sipowicz and Simone into the office, and he asks them about what happened. After hearing their side of the story, he says, "Sipowicz, you're off the case. Russell's going to work with Simone on it. You're going to be sitting at the desk." An important moment is that Sipowicz says, "Am I still catching cases?" Fancy says, "Sure, but you're not working on this one." It comes to a head again when Quasi shows up at the precinct and gets into his face again. He says, "Basically, I'm coming for your job." And Sipowicz says, to the effect, "Why don't we just fight then?"
Yeah.
And Fancy talks to him again and says, "If you get anywhere near this case, you're done. No more questions."
Yeah.
I don't know what to discuss, but it's a great episode, I think. Kyle says he doesn't like the episode before we started.
I think what we should do is play out what happens through the whole episode and then discuss the major theme of it.
Okay. So the way the episode plays out is a lot of different people were shot. They don't know why. They get a tip that a girl is talking about seeing people shot, mm-hmm. and Quasi delivers information, assuming that he's going to get rid of Sipowicz. And Fancy says, "I'm going to take care of him. That's not your job to deal with. I'm trying to catch the people responsible. He's going to leave you alone. He's leaving this whole case alone."
Yeah.
We find out that one guy, through interrogations and information, a guy named Bobo, played by Hill Harper, who I've seen him in a bunch of stuff, and he's always been pretty good.
Yeah. I think he comes back later. No, he doesn't come back later.
I can't remember specifically what he was in, but he does a great job as this character, Bobo, and he does a great job in other stuff. Tom Wright played Quasi, who I guess he's been on a couple other David Milch projects, because that's something that Chris Blankenstuff told me. Mike Layer played the attorney of Charles Moody, because at one point they just arrest Charles Moody under suspicion of being involved, and then they don't have anything on him, so he has to leave. But his lawyer was played by a guy that was in Speed, and I recognized his face, and I couldn't picture where it was, because I watched Speed recently, but he wasn't a major character. Not important. We got bigger fish to fry. The episode plays out where Quasi said, this guy shot this guy, so that in response, Charles Moody shot this guy, and then shots are flying all over the place. They find out that Bobo shot a dude who's out of the game, because at one point he shot his cousin. He shot Bobo's cousin.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a big message about gang violence, how it's like useless and fruitless, and it's people killing each other for fake territory, and it's that would be the message of this episode if the episode also wasn't about this incredibly racist thing that happened with Sipowicz.
Yes.
At one point when Sipowicz is riding the desk, Vince comes in from Nightwatch. And he does this hand thing that I didn't understand at first, but apparently that means black guys. I didn't know that existed.
Oh, like the hand thing over his face? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And basically saying, hey, I'm racist. You're racist too, Andy. And Andy's like, whatever, dude. I'm pissed off. I'm not running the interviews and I'm angry. Just leave me alone.
Yeah.
After everybody leaves, Sipowicz and Fancy have a standoff where Sipowicz basically says, look, fire me because you know you want to. Fire me because of race rather than me doing my job. Fancy says, look, I'm smarter than that. You do your job well and I can control you. But I have to sometimes put the reins on you when you go too far, and I know you're racist and I have to deal with that because you're too good. You're too good to get rid of. Then a DOA comes in. It turns out to be the reporter. His last dying words is a corroborating story about one of the murderers, and he dies. Chris, up blank and stuff on Twitter, he said that that was just a way to button up that storyline so Sipowicz wouldn't actually get in trouble, which might be true and kind of cheap and terrible, but it seems like it. The episode ends with a very awesome conversation because Sylvia comes in about halfway through, and she could tell that Sipowicz is pissed off. And she's like, we'll talk about it later. And he explains the story to her. She basically asks about that hand thing and says, well, you use that, don't you? And he says, yeah. And she says, essentially, don't ever teach that to our child.
Yeah, that was a cool scene. I like that scene.
I wrote it down because it was so cool. He says, it's code so you don't have to say the word. And he said, don't show that to our child. Don't teach him that. Don't teach him to think that way. And then he says okay, and the episode ends in silence.
Yeah.
Okay. What do we discuss?
Well, if you look at the whole thing is Quasi's fault.
Okay.
Because if you look at it, it's supposed to be organized by him, and it ends up being a basketball game that drug dealers are betting on, with this understanding that there's not going to be any involvement with the police or anything like that. So if the basketball game or the charity thing was being run fine with no involvement with the two different gangs, then Quasi's in the right. He doesn't need the police officers there.
Mm-hmm.
But because he had to bring, he didn't have the police officers there and then invited the gangs in, that this becomes Quasi's fault, because Quasi now is opening it up to something bad happening and with his name attached to it. And then, on top of that, if he knew that these guys were doing it, which he does know, he should have stopped it. But instead, he used it as a publicity thing for him, and it ended up backfiring. And instead of copping to it like a man, he first has to get into an argument about it, and him and Sipowicz have a past, and you kind of know that, so it's kind of fucked up that it's kind of fucked up that someone's life doesn't matter as much to Quasi as getting the publicity does, and then getting to weave his like story of like, oh, woe is us, look what happened, like the cops killed this kid, but then now this happened here, oh no, whatever. But on top of that, Sipowicz is a racist. The first thing is the N-word should never even be something that he has in his vocabulary. And the fact that, yeah, maybe the way he uses it, he's using it back at him the way he used it. He used it towards Sipowicz. Sipowicz isn't using it as a slur. He's more using it to, like, throw it back at him. That's fine, but he still shouldn't think like that, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two, what he says in the goddamn elevator is gross.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Something that Chris had mentioned in the notes that he sent, and something I noticed, after that happens, he gets reactions from people he respects. He gets a reaction from Simone. And Simone, in the talk with Fancy, he doesn't come right out and say, oh, this is what Andy did. He waits for Fancy to bring it up, and then he says, look, I've worked with this guy for like 2 years. He has never done anything out of line towards a suspect at all. Even though he knows that the phrase, you guys just started to act your color, was incredibly inappropriate and made him uncomfortable, because when he gets out, Sipowicz kind of says something to him, and he's like, look, man, what did you expect? You can't say shit like that. And he's like, what, you're going to give me a sermon too? And he said, look, man, I don't appreciate what you said, and I don't appreciate the thoughts behind him.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the discussion. So he's got feedback from a dude he respects who said, that's fucked up. He then gets feedback from his wife, which is essentially, hey, look, I realize that you got some bumps and bruises, but you are not going to teach that shit to our son.
Yeah.
That's not happening. And then he gets affirmation of those thoughts from a dude he doesn't respect, Vince. Vince comes in, who is somebody that he made fun of, that he doesn't respect, he doesn't like, per se.
Yeah.
And that guy shares those views. So, and that's something Chris said, is he's having his racism spotlighted by people he loves and people he respects, who then go, hey, that's not cool. You shouldn't say or think this way.
Yeah.
So it's showing an opportunity of growth through the relationships that he has with people he cares about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%, I agree, but he's still a racist.
Because I remember the conversation I had on Twitter with one of our listeners. She said, I'm sick of you guys saying he's racist. He just comes from a different time. What he said in that elevator is just fucking racist. There's no question about if it's racist or not. That was racist. And yeah, you could have been charged up and you could have been angry. And he has a very valid point that the situation of this basketball game was dangerous, and there should have been police involved once it got like this, and the fact that it wasn't means somebody screwed up, and he thinks it's his bosses. However, the point where he said those directly racist things at a dude is racist, and it's not based in anything except racism. So, yeah, it's insane. And it's also insane how, in the face of that, Fancy just tells him straight out, I'm not getting rid of you because you're too good, and I can control you. He's like, I can manage you with my eyes closed. He's like, and you just have to keep your mouth shut when you have to. And another part that makes you think Sipowicz is racist is when he's yelling at Fancy and he goes, look, I've said that word, and I've thought it plenty, but I've never said it on the job. Which is an admission of saying the N-word, just not at work? Like, that doesn't help your point.
But he's also saying he's thought it, so he's probably thought about it when he was on the job. So, I mean, like, what's the conversation here? He's racist. It's okay.
And I think it leaves room for him to be a better character as he's learning to be a better person. But, man, it was... I knew that there was an episode where he drops the N-word, but I forgot it's followed by him saying some really fucked up shit to a dude's face. And it's also... I can't imagine what it was like to be that guy who then has to hear Dennis Franz say that to him in a charged manner. It was nuts. And I really liked the episode, but you said you didn't like it.
No, I like it. I just think the whole N-word part of it is awkward and squeamish. But I like it. I think it's good. I think all the characters are good and they act really good in it.
It also makes me wish that we had more Fancy, just period. Because I think Fancy's really, really good, but they don't bring him out as much as they can or should because he's just the boss where they retell what's going on in the episode so far. But, man, it was crazy. And another thing that Chris mentioned... That Chris mentioned that I thought was interesting. He wrote, "Does everybody hate Inspector Aiello as much as I do? He pops into episodes from time to time, but only when things get really poorly, or things are going really poorly, and never, not once, defends his people. Instead, he complains about the heat from the brass and looks for scapegoats, which is usually Fancy. In this episode, again, we find him
I have no problem with Aiello. He is meant to be a... He's meant to be a, like, a head boss type guy. He's not supposed to be around a lot. Like, I get it. And when he is around, like it is for those times when shit's, like, going bad and there's a reason behind it. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think he's there enough for me to, like, care enough about him, if that makes sense.
It also bums me out that he shows up and he says, "Look, somebody's gonna have to take the heat," and Fancy says, "I'll take it." And then he's immediately like, "Oh, okay, I'll pay you back for this, like, two times over." He's like, "I said I'll do it." And then he's like, okay, you sure? And then we don't see that press conference, which I think would have been pretty sweet.
Yeah, that would have been a cool press conference for them to make and put out. I think that would have been a cool one.
Because then it would have been extremely tense, and also it would have been a cool moment for Fancy, but they didn't do that. Instead, after the conference, he's like, "Okay, well, that was a shooting gallery," and he's like I said, "I owe you big time," which is just kind of supposed to be set up for whatever big storyline happens later, I'm sure. But it would have been cool to see them sweat it out there on the podium.
Yeah, it would have been cool. And, like, him have to answer questions and shit. That would have been a cool thing. But, yeah, it was a cool episode. It's just, if you're going to argue and say Sip, which isn't a racist, it's kind of weird.
But I guess a good question then would be, Sipowicz, because he admits to being basically racist in this episode, but Sipowicz growing throughout the show, does this make him, can he be redeemed of that fact of being racist, I guess? As we go through the show, is it possible for him, because it's weird to say it, but yeah, the dude's racist, but he's also a really good dude in certain aspects of the show.
Like, yeah, that's true.
Like, he's a great detective. He's always looking out for the people that get fucked over by the system. Because there's been episodes where shit doesn't turn out the right way, but he goes out of his way to help those people. He's especially worried about children, and he works double hard when children are affected. He gives people a chance, even, like... Because he's been racist for sure, but he's also extended out hands for people of all races and creeds. It's just so strange that then you have to... Like, this episode then faces you with the fact, yeah, Sipowicz is a good guy. He's also pretty racist. How do you deal with that? How do you reconcile that with your understanding of his character? And I think because he kind of got the drinking thing down, at least for a little while, now we got to deal with the fact that he's a bit racist. And I loved the Sylvia of it all, because she was immediately supportive of him in the squad room because she didn't know what was going on. Then, at the end of the episode, when he tells her the whole story, and he sits down at that chair, and she asks him a couple questions, she makes it perfectly clear she doesn't agree with him, and she will not tolerate that kind of shit with her kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, I think this paves the way for him becoming a more accepting and open person, and hopefully not saying those things in later episodes.
I doubt it.
You doubt it, eh?
I doubt it. I still think he's gonna be a racist. We'll see as it goes on. He just said some shit that shouldn't have been said.
I mean, it's a, also, I mean, not to be devil's advocate, the scenes with Adam Goldberg. Is it Adam Goldberg? I'm starting to think yes. I have the name wrong. But, because they're, in the very first scene, he's like, he's like, hey, you got some blood on you. That means you probably saw something. Do you have anything you want to add? And he goes, no. And he's like, well, there are some people who died today. And he invokes the First Amendment like a cock. Then when he loses his binder, which is, of course, Sipowicz's own doing. He fucking stole it. And they're meeting down in the lobby, and Sipowicz is playing dumb. The guy says, don't you want to call me a kike? And don't think I need that notebook to know that you called that dude a race, the N-word. And for a moment, I was like, this is why there are people that are like, immediately don't trust the press, and the press is bad. When it's like, that guy was a dick, and he was using the First Amendment and doing things that were messed up to hopefully advance his career, when he could have done the right thing by coming forward about what happened there.
I get that.
I don't think it would have been cool to leverage information on that detective about when writing that story. Like, I don't think it would have been cool to be like, oh yeah, I was at the basketball game where violence erupted, and this was involved, and this happened, and these people happened. Oh, and by the way, then this cop came in, and he said the N-word. Like, I don't see the point in doing that and capitalizing off that situation for your career. So, I don't know. It was a very conflicting episode. Like, I didn't really know where to stand on anything that happened.
Well, I think you bringing up the whole, the reporter. I think this episode is also showing the, like, the darker side to both sides, or, like, to everything,
mm-hmm.
when something like that's involved. Yeah. I don't know. It was good. It's a good episode.
Anything you want to mention before we cut it off?
I think I have been justified in my claims that Sipowicz is a racist.
I don't know. I think it's hard to admit when your favorite characters have flaws, but I can say, knowing where Sipowicz ends up, that yeah, what he did was racist, and he admitted to saying and thinking racist things. It's just so jostling to have to deal with that in, like, the middle of what is, like, the best season of NYPD Blue, where he's working with his best partner, and then his partner... Because there are scenes where, like, after he says that shit, where, like, they cut to Simone, and just Jimmy Smits's face is like, oh, shit. Like...
Yeah, no, I remember those.
It's like...
He just kind of has his head turned around, like, what the fuck?
Like, because now he's like, I have to protect my partner, and he's a good guy, but also, what the fuck? Like, I never got the impression that you would say shit like that to a dude, or I never thought that you would do this because of the way you're feeling about the situation, and it's, I don't know, it's a great, I really liked the episode, and it got me more stoked for NYPD Blue to come. Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBrothersPodcast.com, iTunes, Stitcher, where you find a podcast. We're on Twitter at AstroBrosPod, Instagram AstroBrothersPodcast. You can rate us on iTunes if you really want to. I mean, you could even write bad stuff. I don't think it matters, really. We're all just living. Other than that, Hulu, as of recording time, has still not put up NYPD Blue, even though they have it.
We're still waiting.
We're hoping it happens soon, so we don't have to get out DVDs or look for it online. We can just bring up Hulu and turn it on. But until then, we'll just have to make do.
Yeah, we'll just have to keep finding it for free.
Mm-hmm. We're willing to pay for it if you just put it up.
Yeah, I mean, well, you already are paying for it.
I know. And I enjoy it quite a bit. And I would enjoy it more if next to my South Park and my community, I'd also have NYPD Blue.
But no, I have to fuck it up.
And my Rick and Morty. They got Rick and Morty up there. Anyway, have a good one, Gaz. Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. Please rate and review on iTunes if you have the time. Even if you have something negative to say, I'll read it, and I'm sure I will take your criticism to heart and then not change anything about the show. Anyway, if you need more NYPD Blue goodness, if you need to dig in deeper into the show, it's still not on Hulu as of editing time, but you can check out Gene Kendall's book, An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue. It is on Amazon for 99 cents. It is very in-depth. You can also check out old episodes of Asher Brothers Podcast, because we've talked about NYPD Blue for a long time on that show as well. Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls and Asher Brothers Podcast is available on AsherBrothersPodcast.com, iTunes, and Stitcher. We're on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod, Instagram Asher Brothers Podcast. Thank you. Have a good one. Peace. Just realized after I finished editing that I didn't mention our names. That's my bad. I'm Kirk, the voice that sounds like a robot who's extremely sleepy is Kyle from New York. Thank you.